Your Bibles to the New Testament book of James, James chapter number 2. Last time we began looking at the subject of faith in James 2, looking at verses 14 to 26. We discussed the differences between saving faith and vain faith. How that there are those who have heard the gospel, yes, they believe that Christ lived, that Christ died on a cross at Calvary, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. The problem is that they only believe it the same way that they would believe any historical fact. They have an intellectual head knowledge about the gospel, but they have not taken it to heart and received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and therefore, though they have believed, they have believed in vain. They may say that they believe, but as James points out in these verses we're going to read again, if their faith has not produced a change in their life, that is, and it ought to be a change that's evident to others, that faith cannot save them. That's vain faith. That it does not profit them any more than it profits the devils who also believe in God. So let's read that passage once again. Refresh our mind on all these words, and then we'll continue the lesson where we left off last time. James chapter 2, beginning in verse number 14. James 2, 14. Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Okay, now we have covered verses 14 to 20, and so verse number 21 is where the objection really comes in James 2:21. The Bible says, "There was not Abraham our father justified by works." And so when the independent, fundamental, saved by grace, without the law, Baptists get a hold of that statement right there, they just go crazy. They go haywire. And they try every way they can think of to get rid of the book of James and to keep it away from the church because, well, surely we all know that we're not justified by works. But you know what would be really neat? Instead of throwing out a book of the Bible because it doesn't seem to match what I believe, what would really be a blessing would be to study out the cross references and find out what God is trying to teach us here. Because we know that you're only saved one time from your sins. And we're justified, that is, declared righteous in the eyes of God one time forever as regards our sin. Okay, we know that. We're not denying that, and we're not pushing that aside. And yet we do we not on a daily basis, okay, do we not read our Bible, pray, and seek to live in such a way so that God will speak to our hearts, you know, and say, that's right. Yes, you did right. That was well-pleasing in my sight. Isn't that what we're hoping for? Okay. You know what that is? That is justification. Okay. I received justification once and for all, finally and forever, when I trusted Christ as my Savior. But on a daily basis, when a man does what is right, according to what he reads and learns from the Word of God, God then can again declare, that's right, and records it in the record books in heaven. Isn't there a judgment seat of Christ? Are not our works tried at that judgment seat? Well, what happens there? Some of the works there are burnt up, aren't they? Some of the works, though, are declared to be righteous works. You see, I'm saved one time, but Romans chapter 8 says I have a past salvation, a present salvation, and I'm waiting for a future salvation. Okay? I have a past justification, I seek a daily justification, and I'm looking forward, bless God, on the other side of the rapture, I'm looking forward to a future justification. Three declarations from God that I'm righteous. The soul is righteous. Jesus took care of that when I trusted him. My spirit, I try to be right on a daily basis. Okay, that's present. Okay, but one day, praise God, on the other side of the rapture, I'll be free from this body of death and I'll be fully righteous like the Lord Jesus Christ by God's declaration. Okay, and I've spelled that out for you in detail in your notes there. So, you know what you find? Instead of throwing out the book of James because we're only saved one time, and that's by grace, do you know what you find out if you study the Bible? There are three separate occasions on which Abraham was justified. God justified Abraham three separate times. And see, what the fundamentalists do, they run into James 2 and they say, salvation, that's justification, but you're only saved one time, and that's by grace, not by works. So this can't be for Christians. Instead of going to the Bible and finding out that Abraham was justified by God on three separate occasions. So let's look at those occasions. First of all, get Galatians 3, Genesis 12, and interestingly enough, all three of these are found in Hebrews 11, in that order. Galatians 3, Genesis 12, and Hebrews 11. Here is the first justification of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 6. Bible says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. By faith, Abraham believed God. God, in response to Abraham's faith, justified him, that is, declared him righteous. In the context, what God had preached to him that he believed and that he acted upon, we have these words: in thee shall all nations be blessed. Okay, so we know which occasion this is talking about. Let's go look at it in Genesis chapter 12. We're looking at these in chronological order. Here we'll find where Abraham was justified by God through faith. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Genesis 12:1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Okay, Abraham is doing what? He's hearing the word of God. Okay, verse 2, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Okay, that is God's word. Abraham heard God say, "Get out, and I'll bless you." He heard that. But just hearing that did not justify him. If he just filed that fact away in his brain and then he went home and he said to his wife Sarah, "You know what? If we got out of this country and went to another land, God would bless us. I'm sure of it." That doesn't bless him, though. That doesn't justify him. Okay? Look at verse 4, though. "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." He heard the word, he believed the word, and he left. He left his home and family. He did something. By faith, he did what God told him to do. Now, look in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, discussing this same event. Hebrews 11, verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." God said to Abraham, "Leave your home, seek a city, and I will bless you." Abraham heard that. Abraham believed that. He left his home. He sought a city. God said in Hebrews 11 that he did that by faith. God said in Galatians chapter 2, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And God said he would justify the heathen on the same basis. Now, out of all the people living on the earth, he chose out Abraham. That was just pure grace, that choosing of Abraham. Out of all the people living on the earth, God called Abraham unto himself. That is the grace of God. All the things that could have happened to Abraham, as God preserved him through every one of those things, that is the grace of God. All the trouble, all the chaos on earth, and God blessed Abraham. That's the grace of God. Okay? But had Abraham not acted in faith, he would not have enjoyed the blessings of that grace. It was God's grace through faith that brought about the blessings. Okay, so that's the first justification of Abraham. Let's look at the second one. Keep Hebrews 11. We're going to be back here. Turn to Romans chapter 4. And then we'll go to Genesis 17. And then back to Hebrews 11. Now bear in mind, Abraham has been justified. God has already declared him righteous. Well, we're going to find out from the Bible that God can justify a man more than once. We're not talking about getting saved more than once. Hope you understand that. We're talking about God declaring a man righteous more than once. Romans 4, verse number 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? Okay, circumcision, that's the Jews. Uncircumcision, that would be the Gentiles, non-Jews. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Okay, let me stop there for a minute, because this comes up in Galatians, this comes up in Romans. And this failing to understand this is why people mess up the book of James. No man is justified by the works of the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, the Bible says. The law made nothing perfect. Okay, so do you know what men do? In their careless study of the Bible, they confuse the rapture with the second coming. They mix them together. They confuse the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. They mix them together. And they confuse works and the law, and they mix them together. And they're not the same. And they say, since James 2 talks about works, and you can't be saved by works of the law, therefore James 2 can't be for the New Testament Christian, because the New Testament Christian is not saved by the works of the law. Well, we're not talking about the works of the law. We're talking about faith, which is belief that is worked out. You work it out. You work out what you have. You go to the gym, you work out your body because you have a body to work out. Okay, you got faith, work it out because you have faith. See, that's how that works. Abraham was justified by faith. That is, he did something. But it had nothing to do with the law. Consider this. I don't know if you thought about this, but did Abraham have a law to consider? There was no law until Moses, right? Moses was a descendant of Abraham. So he couldn't have had anything to do with the law. Every work of the law, though, would leave you without salvation. But the work of faith, coupled with God's grace, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we'll be looking at that. That is salvation. Grace, God's grace, our faith. Now, I don't believe that a man is saved by works. I believe a man is saved by God's grace. I believe man is saved by grace through faith, because that's what the Bible says. And I believe that faith is substantial. Faith is evidential, something you'll be able to observe, to see. Faith, every time in Hebrews chapter 11, we saw this last time, all those people, they did something by faith, okay? Their faith, every time in Hebrews 11, was doing what God said to do, okay? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? For whosoever shall calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What if you don't call on the name of the Lord? Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What if you don't repent? You're not justified by the works of the law. But without faith, you won't be declared righteous in the eyes of God. There's a distinction there. You got to see that difference, because men are not making that distinction these days. And because they're not making that distinction, they don't know what to do with James chapter 2. Now watch this. Verse number 12, we'll continue. Verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Okay, he was justified by faith. He did what God told him to do. That was his righteousness. 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Okay, it is not grace without faith. And it is not faith without grace. It is faith that it might be by grace. Okay, God will save you by grace if you have faith. Okay, look at it again. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. By grace are ye saved through faith. Okay, no faith, no grace. That's the way God set things up. All right, it says, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Okay, so now watch this. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Okay, this is the area of his second justification here. the second time he believed God. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, because Abraham, a 99-year-old man with dead reproductive organs, because he believed God when he said he was going to have a baby, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. In Genesis chapter 12, God imputed righteousness to Abraham. He declared that Abraham was righteous back in Genesis chapter 12. That's Galatians 2. Okay? That's Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10. But in Romans 4, we're dealing with something five chapters and several decades later, when the Bible says, and God imputed righteousness to Abraham because he believed God and went in unto Sarah and had a baby, and after he was unable to do it, and he knew it. Okay? That is the second time God justified Abraham. That's the second time God imputed righteousness to Abraham. You can't throw out James 2 and say it's not for the church because God only justifies a man one time. Because God justifies a man more than one time according to the Bible. Let's look at Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. We're not going to read the whole chapter. I think most of you know the story. Genesis 17, verse number 15. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and so on and so forth. We don't need to read all of it. Now, Abraham and Sarah, think about this. They could have sat around that night drinking coffee, watching the Tonight Show, and Abraham could have said to Sarah, did you hear what God said? And she says, yeah, you know, that's really great, isn't it? And Abraham, he could have said, yeah, it sure is, you know. And I believe God could really do that too. No doubt in my mind, God could surely give us a baby. Well, good night, Sarah. And Sarah goes off to her bedroom and Abraham goes off to his. Now, I'm not trying to be cheap or dirty, but saying that God could give them a baby, having heard that God wanted to give them a baby, even telling the family that God could give them a baby, that's not faith. Faith was Abraham and Sarah climbing into the same bed and making a baby. They did what God told them to do, and God said, there's a righteous man right there. That man had no chance of having a baby unless I gave him one by my grace. Sarah had no chance of having a baby unless I filled her womb by my grace. Abraham's seed was dead, but I put life back in that seed by my grace. That is the grace of God. But unless it had been through faith, there would have been no baby. God justified the man when he believed God, and the belief that we're talking about in James chapter 2, it's not just an intellectual belief. It's not just hearing what God said and saying, yeah, I agree with that, I believe that's true. It's doing what God said to do. That's the faith we're talking about in James chapter 2. Now look in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning this. Second look at Abraham. Verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 11. Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, that'd be Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. By faith Sarah had a baby. By faith, Abraham had a baby. The Holy Ghost did not overshadow Sarah like he did Mary. Okay? Abraham and Sarah got together and spent the night together by faith. And you know what that was? That's exactly what it was. It was faith. You say you have faith? Show me. That's James 2. Don't say you believe that God can bless you if you leave your homeland. Leave your homeland. Don't say you believe God could give you a baby if you knew your wife. Know your wife. That's faith. You say you have faith, but you don't do anything. I'll show you I have faith. I'm doing something. That's James 2. So two times Abraham is justified or declared righteous. Let's look at the third time. James chapter 2, Genesis 22, and Hebrews 11. Bear in mind that a man is saved and born again only one time by grace through faith. That is no reason to throw out James chapter 2. The verses that we're reading about and the incident that we're reading about in James 2, the man has already been justified twice by God before we ever get to this point in his life. Twice God has imputed righteousness to this man, and we haven't even gotten to James chapter 2 yet. Look at the verses. Verse 21, James chapter 2, verse number 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Verse number 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So here's the third time Abraham gets imputed righteousness. Do you know what had happened? Now, keep in mind, decades later, decades after Isaac is born, Abraham takes Isaac up on a mountain to offer him as a sacrifice in obedience to God. God said, as Abraham was ready to obey God and sacrifice Isaac, God said, hold the knife, stop. Now I know there's a righteous man. God declared Abraham righteous on the top of Mount Moriah when he offered Isaac, believing that God would raise him from the dead, or that he would have to raise him from the dead to fulfill his promises. Now, look at the wording in James chapter 2, 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Okay, look at Hebrews 11. Verse number 17. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Okay. Verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 18, of whom it was said, okay, it was said. Well, who said it? God said it. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham heard, Isaac is the one in whom your seed is going to be called. Do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. All right. Then I want you to go up on the mountain, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Do you hear me, Abraham? Yes, I hear you. Do you know why Abraham went up that mountain? He believed God. Not intellectually. By faith, he walked up that mountain. He could have stayed home, folded his arms and said, well, you know, Isaac is the chosen seed. God said he was. And God said if I offered him as a sacrifice, he'd raise him from the dead. I believe he could. But, you know, I just don't want to risk it. I believe he could, but I think I'd be showing off. That is not faith. Okay, that's an intellectual belief. He has heard the word of God, but he has not acted upon the word of God. By faith, he and Isaac took the trip. By faith, he and Isaac went up the mountain. By faith, he offered Isaac in sacrifice. As God said, that's faith. Now come back to James chapter 2. Let's ask the question. Verse 22, James 2:22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? James is asking because he knows people are going to mess this up. He says, do you see it? Do you see what I'm saying? By grace, Isaac was the seed to inherit the promise. By grace, Isaac lived. By grace, Isaac came down alive off that mountain. That was all the grace of God. But that only happened through faith. Had it not been for the faith of Abraham, the grace of God would have been hindered. And so let's go back up to the passage here. Verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Well, no, not that kind of faith. He says in verse number 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You have got to act upon the intellectual belief that you have in what you've heard from the word of God, or else you may say that you have faith, but there's no genuine faith. You're a dead man. And so all over town, you try to give out gospel tracts. You try and talk to people about the Lord, and they say, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I believe that. But they don't. If they believed it, they would have acted upon it. You see. Now, Abraham was justified with regard, first of all, to the land. Leave your home. Go. He was justified with regard next to the seed. He was justified with regard to the resurrection. Every time God showed Abraham something new, he acted upon that in faith. And when he acted upon it in faith, here came another declaration from God that he was righteous. When you came to Jesus Christ and trusted him as your personal Savior, here came the declaration of God. That man is righteous. That woman is righteous. And he gave you eternal life. After that, he said, now here's what I want you to do. Now that you're saved, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop that beer drinking. I want you to lay off of that booze business. And you said, well, God, if that's what you say, if you don't want me drinking, then bless God, I'm not going to drink. I quit. And you took that bottle and you dumped it out and you threw it away. You know what God did? He justified you again. He said, that's right. You see, that man, that woman did what was right. Again, I got to keep saying it. You're saved one time. But there are continual declarations in our life when God shows us something new. And when by faith we act upon that new revelation, I mean, it's not a new revelation except to us as we study God's word. But when we act upon it, what follows is going to be a declaration by God of our righteousness. And at the judgment seat of Christ, when that gold and that silver and those precious stones pass through that fire of judgment, what will God say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did right. Here's a crown of life. You did right. Here's a crown of rejoicing. You did right. And what is all of that? Only by the grace of God. You know how that is just the all of the, all that is there going on at the judgment seat of Christ is the declaration of righteousness or justification from God. Okay? How do you get that? Only by the grace of God through faith. If it was just by the grace of God, everybody would be saved. You ever think about that? Everybody would receive all the crowns, all the rewards that God has in heaven. Because God is love, and God's grace, it's so great, he would bestow all upon every man. But it's not just grace. It's grace through faith. And where there is no faith, the grace of God it's checked, it's hindered. It doesn't go through. Now, you know as well as I do, God doesn't want any of us to sin, right? He wants us all to live a righteous life. And we all know from Scripture that God will supply whatever we need to live that righteous life. And He wants to. He delights in our living a righteous life. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us. He gave us the word to help us. But where there's no faith, the grace of God is checked. The Spirit of God is grieved. Now, I want to show you how that the crucial passages in the New Testament, those passages which declare that a man is saved by grace and not by works, all of those passages have subsequent works mentioned in the immediate context. Okay? Let me just show you so you'll see what I mean. First one we'll look at is Titus chapter 2. And these are Paul's epistles, letters written by Paul. Titus chapter 2. Verse number 11, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All right, how are we saved? By grace. What is the result? Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. A man says he has faith. All right, let me see your sober, righteous, godly life in this present world. Because the grace that saves teaches right living. The grace that saves teaches right living. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's all good stuff, isn't it? This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Are you saved by the marvelous grace of God? Well, good. Keep doing good works. Good works are the result of saving faith. Look at 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Verse number 10. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. See this? No sooner does he say that God gave himself a ransom, that God is the Savior, than he starts telling people, this is good, this is good, do this, do this, do this. It shows up every time in context. Okay, come back a little farther. First Thessalonians, chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Okay, now watch this. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. If you believe the word of God, it will have an effect upon your life. If it does not have an effect upon your life, you don't believe it. You might say that you have faith, but show me your faith by your works. If you believe it, there will be some evidence. Okay, it will have an effect. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Okay, well, man, you could not be risen with Christ unless Christ was risen. Verse 2, set your affection on things above. Well, you never did that before. That's something you're going to do because of your faith, right? Not on things on the earth. Okay? You're raised with Christ. Now you get your affections straightened out. Verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay? Well, the Lord had to do that. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. God's got to do that. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, and so on and so forth. Okay? You're going to do something based upon your belief, your faith. Every passage where Paul writes about God saving us, it is immediately followed by a statement of our good works, right there in the context. Philippians chapter 1. Just back up a couple of pages. I'll just throw this one out to you. Romans chapter 4 and chapter 5, those two chapters are all about how God saves by grace. And then following that, it's still in context, you've got Romans 6 and 7 and 8. And they're all about the new life that a man lives when he is saved by grace. Okay, so that can be included. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Okay, he said Christ began the good work. When he saved you, Christ will continue the good work. That's what he'll do. You, though, you make sure you do the right thing. You make sure you approve of the right thing so that Christ can make you fruitful. So, again, those things go hand in hand. All right, and then the crown jewel here, Ephesians chapter 2. This is the heart of the Pauline prison epistles. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Every passage where Paul writes about salvation by grace, he says there is an evidence, there is an outworking, there is a substance, and that is good works. And James 2 says, if you say you have faith and you don't have works, it's a vain statement. There's no substance to it, because where there is true, genuine faith, there will be works. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All right, now let's just finish up James chapter 2 real quickly. Here's another example he gives, and we won't take time to talk about it today. James chapter 2, verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Okay, Rahab, she heard, she believed, but her belief was not just an intellectual belief, because she took action upon her belief. Had she not sent the spies out, had she not hung that scarlet thread, had she not stayed home when the battle started, she would not have been saved. She would have died like everybody else in Jericho died. Okay? And verse 26, and this ties in with verse number 17, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If you walk by in Genesis 2, there's the finest looking man you ever saw in your life. You look down and you say, there's Adam. It looks like Adam. You can say that it's Adam, but there's nothing there but a corpse. It looks like faith. It looks like a church member. He's dressed right. He's got his Bible. He's singing in the choir. He goes to church every Sunday morning. He puts something in the offering. It looks like he's what he's supposed to be. But is there any life? Is he breathing? If this body doesn't have a spirit, it's dead. And if your profession of faith doesn't have any works to back it up, it is dead. So we'll end up where we started out last week. You may have figured out by now, I'm not a libertine. I don't think that a man can just repeat a prayer. I don't think a man can walk in as a pig and repeat a prayer and go back to wallowing in the mire and lay there in the mud hole and say, bless God, I'm a new creature, oink, oink. I've been born again. And the other example in that same passage, if a dog goes back to its vomit, it's a dog. If it's been turned into a little boy, it won't go in the backyard and eat vomit. Children just don't do that. Dogs do that. If it's got teeth like a wolf, fur like a wolf, claws like a wolf, paws like a wolf, skeletal structure like a wolf, guess what? It's a wolf. It's a wolf. And listen, I'm not teaching salvation by works. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe salvation is by the grace of God. But I cannot be convinced from reading the Bible that a man can be saved by the grace of God and there not be some evidence in his life, because the Bible's real clear on the matter. Wouldn't you agree? A man can fall away, but there's got to be something to fall away from. A man can wander off, but there's got to be somewhere to wander off from. A man can stray, but he's got to stray from somewhere. Amen. I'll tell you something else the Lord said in John 10 and also in the other Gospels. He said that when that sheep wanders off, because he's a sheep, the shepherd will go bring him back. And John said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said they went out from us, but the reason they're not coming back is because they were not sheep. They were not of us. And if they were sheep, they would come back. So anyway, I think a man is saved by grace through faith. I think it's all the gift of God. But I also believe that a man must repent, receive the gift, call upon the Lord. And that is not teaching salvation by works. That's just faith, the substance and the evidence of a man's belief. So that's James 2. And this is not the last word on James 2, I guarantee you. But if nothing else, we want to get this from the study today. Don't throw away part of the Bible just because you can't figure it out. If we leave here today and we haven't, quote unquote, figured out James 2, don't throw it into the tribulation just because it doesn't suit you. Just pray some more, read the Bible again, and by the time you get from Genesis back to James, maybe God will have showed you something else that'll help you out. That's how it works. So just stay with it. Don't give up. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for enlightening us today as we studied your word. Help us, Lord, to believe. Help us, Lord, not to turn away from your truth. Lord, we want to see the things that you reveal to us, and we want to act upon them, that you may declare once again that we are right in doing those things, and that when we come to the judgment seat of Christ, we may have more gold and silver and precious stones that will pass through the fire. Lord, help us to desire to live a life that will be pleasing to you, that will serve you in some way, that will make you able to gladly say that we are doing what you told us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.